You're listening to Adopter Stories by the Adoption and Fostering Podcast. In this episode, Adopter Catherine shares her story of adopting Donnie with her husband Simon in 2012.
We decided to adopt because we both had medical problems in the run-up to even starting a family. I'd always guessed that I had endometriosis because I'd gone on the pill at the age of 19 in order to get my life back because of how bad it was. So I wasn't that surprised when I came off the pill, and instead of getting pregnant, I just found that my own health was worsening. And my husband, which is a story all of its own, had viral meningeal encephalitis in 2003, spent 4 months in hospital, had to learn to walk again, and has been left with ME and some verbal aphasia. So his experience of hospitals was great for saving a life, not so great for other stuff. And in my case, we finally got seen by a gynaecologist, and it was on the NHS, and it was because people who've got endometriosis will know you don't get diagnosed until they actually do some surgery. So you have the diagnosis and then any treatment at the same time, all in one hit. And that's what happened. And I woke up from the surgery. And the guy stood there going, "Hello, yes, your endometriosis is dreadful. Do you want to go on the IVF list?" And they hadn't even waited for my husband to walk into the room. By the time he turned up, I was having a bad reaction to the anaesthetic, which ended up putting me in hospital for a day. And it was just such a traumatic experience that when we got the paperwork about being on the IVF waiting list, one of the things it talked about was the fact that you could get therapy to help you talk about the process. And I rang up and I said, "Do we have to wait till we start the IVF, or can we have the therapy now?" And they said, "It's 5 sessions, whenever you want it." So we went along to this therapy, and there was one of those women who go, "Oh, tell me more." And by session three, both me and my husband had both come to the conclusion that IVF was just not for us, that putting ourselves through the emotional and physical upset of further invasive stuff, given how low the probability of us actually conceiving anyway were, just wasn't for us. But neither of us was telling the other one that, because the other one thought the other one wanted to go for it. So eventually she basically made us write it down and then read it out to each other, and it was like, "Oh, neither of us wants to do this. Oh, okay then." And when we told that to her, she went, "Oh, I'm so glad you made that decision. I couldn't tell you to make that decision, but oh, I'm so glad you have." So then, of course, you can't go straight onto an adoption waiting list. They said you have to have waited a year after coming off the IVF list to make sure you've dealt with it in our area. Then it took us 6 months to find an agency to take us on, because at that point, a lot of the agencies were only taking dual heritage couples, because they literally only had dual heritage children. So we eventually found an agency that took us on and went through home study and passed home study. And we were, yeah, we can do this. And then we got approved. And then we had another year of ups and downs until we finally got an interview. And it took them so long to actually come and interview us, because they were coming down to London, and finding a date everyone could do was quite hard. And so they interviewed us at the beginning of December, and they phoned us 3 days later and went, "Brilliant, marvellous. You know what? We were so confident when we saw your profile that we'd already penciled you in for matching panel in January. Is that all right?" And we're like, "That's 6 weeks away." And they're like, yeah. "Can you come to panel? And then we can start you meeting with him at the end of January." And we're like, okay. So, of course, we had to go to work and go, "Hi, you know, we said we'd give you 3 months warning. Well, we've got 6 weeks." which obviously threw everyone to disarray. And then, yeah, approved matching panel and met him on the last day of January 2012. And then 10 days later, he moved in with us. And fun began. Adoption has definitely been a roller coaster for us. One of the biggest problems we had when our son... No, there was two big problems when our son came to us. Problem number one was that the social worker said that we needed to cut all ties with the foster family because it would confuse him otherwise because of them being so far away. And if I could go back in time, I would kick her out of the house and set up regular Skype to the foster family because a lot of the problems we had turned out to be because our son was missing them and wondering what had happened to them and feeling insecure about how quickly they'd been taken off him. That insecurity has followed him through. But obviously at the time we didn't know that because the other major problem was he was non-verbal. So when he came to us, he started making all the right sounds and movements and talking that he should have been doing for his age. So all communication was non-verbal, which is brilliant if you've known a child for 16 months and not brilliant when you're meeting them for the first time. And the social worker at the time was like, oh, he's just getting used to your accent. We didn't believe her. We actually ended up, we're very lucky here in Greenwich. They have a very, very good early years intervention team. And we ignored the social workers and we got ourselves involved with the speech and language team. And they taught us Makaton, which was life-changing for us because suddenly he could communicate again. So it was a mixture of using Makaton and using pictures. So if he wanted to tell us what he wanted to eat, we had a picture book with all the food in that he could choose, pictures of places we could go, and it definitely helped because he suddenly realised that actually we were interested in communicating with him and there was a way for him to communicate with us, whereas before, of course, the foster mum just instinctively knew what he wanted. So those were the two problems we had, in that he wasn't telling us how he felt and we didn't know how he felt, and by the time we actually realised how deeply affected he was by losing them, it was too late, the damage was done. Within that first year he was with us was when I damaged my back. So I had had back problems anyway. I thought they were better being off work. I thought it was getting better anyway. So we drove up to see my family and I picked him up to put him in a swing and I put my back out so badly that a week later I was in hospital on Gatton Air. I ended up in hospital for a week unexpectedly. And just as Donnie was starting to get used to the idea of us being his family. And I eventually came home just before Christmas. And then in February, I had to go back for the surgery and was in hospital for a week for that. And I think that that might actually have been one disruption too much. I think if maybe that hadn't happened, we might have gotten by better. But, you know, there's not much you can do. You can't plan for these things. And there's no way I knew going picking him up to put him in the swing was going to put my back out because, you know, that's not what happens. So what with that and Simon's tiredness, it's definitely never on the cards to adopt a second child. We do hear people going, oh, do you think you'd have a second one? And we're like, no. So the difficulties, so we had the difficulty of not understanding that he was missing his foster family as much as he was, because the social workers really didn't prepare us for that. And looking back on the home study we did, I don't remember that talk being talked about there either, to be honest. There was lots of talk about children bringing with them issues because of what happened in the homes with the birth parents. But we were told, well, he was never with his birth parents, and we know he can make attachments because he's attached to the foster family, therefore, he will attach to you well. But what no one ever said was, but his attachment to you will always be ever so slightly insecure. And so now, even now, 6 years, 6.5 years on, he still gets upset if one of us goes out. If he knows this is going out in the evening, he gets upset because he's convinced we're not going to come home. Absolutely convinced. But the third problem was when he started school and they just didn't get it. So I made an appointment to meet his soon-to-be teacher and the Senko, and I sat with them for an hour explaining attachment disorder to them and how it manifests with him, because he was already by this point struggling. And sure enough, the first week, it's a bit rough, isn't he? I'm like, yeah, that's his attachment disorder. Oh no, he's just single child syndrome. End of the second week, have you ever considered going on a parenting course? No, because we've already done them all. And on it went, and on it went, and on it went. And eventually, the educational psychiatrist came in. But she sided with us. She went, this child clearly has a situation here. He's showing the signs of attachment disorder and anxiety, and you should take it seriously. Because at that point, we hadn't really been trained in how to deal with the whole fear side of things. And we did it all wrong, and he ended up hitting me unexpectedly. And about that time, I did start on the medication for anxiety, because it was affecting my ability to do my job as well, even though I'd gone back part-time. Things did improve a little bit with having had the educational psychologist come on board. But I'd say things only really improved at school when he finally got the diagnosis of sensory processing difficulties. They were like, oh, okay then. And he started doing sensory exercises before class, and they were taking things into account. And things have definitely been easier this year as a result. So I feel sorry for the teachers, because they don't know what to look out for. And yes, I think it takes them a while to get used to his ways. I believe that 3 months after having a child placed with you, you should go on a compulsory one-day refresher course on attachment disorder and how it presents. And having now done, we've done some TheraPlay training, we've done some sensory processing training through the post-adoption and through, again, Greenwich, we've done the Great Behaviour Breakdown. That, all that kind of training, all that understanding that all behaviour is a communication of pain of some sort, emotional, I wish I'd known that when he first came to us, because I thought I knew what I was doing and I didn't. But the problem is, when children first come to you and you have to get used to them as a person and you have to get used to the change in your routine and what that means to your life and the extra person to clothe and feed and wash and blah, blah, blah. And that side of it, particularly when it's an older child, takes up so much time that it's very difficult to remember that you've also got to factor in this additional attachment style stuff. We would have done a lot more sod the practical stuff, like I was trying to carry on keeping on top of all the housework and all the sensible stuff, and just gone, nope, we need to just focus on TheraPlay and that kind of thing and life story work, and focus on helping him properly transfer over from the foster family to make it easier for him to, like, emotionally, and worry about the rest later. There's a lot of what ifs and I wish we'd done things differently. I wish we'd rewritten his life storybook better earlier. The life storybook that we were given was a folder, and it was sent to us under duress. We had to threaten the director of social services from his placing agency for them to actually get it to us. Yeah, we eventually got it. It had loads of mistakes in, and it had loads of stuff in, and a note on the front saying, take out anything not age appropriate. And at that point, what we should have done is phoned up our agency and gone, please come and assist us in this process. But again, because you're sort of told, well, there we go, well done, you've been approved, off you go, you can do this all right now. And we thought we knew what we were doing, and we got it wrong. We left stuff in the book that we thought was an important background, but actually just gave him more things to be anxious about before he was old enough to actually be able to take them in. So, you know, it was difficult. It was, we made mistakes with that. If I could get in a time machine and go back and be in Simon coming out of that session where we agreed we were going to adopt and flagged us down and went, listen up, then yeah, I think we would do it again, because it has definitely changed us for the better, and I get a lot more pleasure out of, even with all the downside of having to learn so much, I get more pleasure out of the parenting and the psychology of parenting side than I was getting at work anymore. If I could go back and change something, then I would definitely tell me to focus more on his emotional needs when he first came to us. Definitely. And also, from our own perspective, I think if we'd been a bit more realistic about how bad the bad days were going to be, I don't think it would have put us off. I think it would have just given us the chance to prepare for it better, if that makes sense. It's because it's got to the point, I mean, obviously, it's difficult, isn't it? Because when the child first comes to you, you feel responsible for them, you care about them, you think they're amazing, but that first week, they're not really your son, because they're a stranger still. And it takes a while to get to the point where you are understanding them enough to go, oh, right, yeah, you know, you're mine and I'm yours, and that's never going to change. I mean, I've no idea if people go through that with newborn babies, but I look at him now and it's like, can I imagine him having gone anywhere else? And I think that would be a real, yeah, I'm rambling now. It's weird to think that if we'd done our route to becoming approved differently, and if we hadn't been, you know, going off on dead ends with other routes, we may still have become adopters, but not to him. And that's a really weird thing, because I now just can't imagine him not being our son. You know, I looked at him today and he was playing with his friend and he's really mature and they were having conversations and it didn't involve me. And I was like, oh, he doesn't need me anymore. And then he held my hand for the next hour and I'm like, oh, he doesn't need me. But no regrets at all. Looking at where we are now, definitely. Donny, if you're listening to this, I love you very much. And don't put me in a care home. Yes.
If you'd like to share your story, then please privately message me, Al Coates, or Scott Cassonrunny through the podcast Twitter feed or Facebook page.